Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Haley. How are you?
Dan, cheers.
Cheers to you. I'm cheersing Haley with my
Diet Coke.
You know, I'm trying to lay off the coffee because I don't know if that's healthy for me.
Oh, I'm sure this is much healthier. Yeah.
I know. I guess I could do orange juice or something.
Water.
I could do water. But the building where
Dan
we record.
Drink water.
No. The building where we do all of our recording, where our studio is. Do you want to drink that water?
No, I bring my own.
Yeah. And I never think ahead to bring my own water. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And today we're going to be talking with Zach Krieger from Ayers Basement Systems about sump pumps.
Yes.
With spring rains and all of that just around the corner, right?
But even if you don't have a sump pump, he's still got tips for those people too, right?
Well, he's got things to sell those people. If you don't have a sump pump, Zach's going to get you hooked up. He's going to tell you everything you need to know. If you do have a sump pump and you don't want to buy a new one, it's not just a bunch of stuff that, you know, isn't going to apply to you.
Sure.
Because Zach's also going to tell you some things that you can do, no matter what system you've got, to make sure it's ready. Because eventually the weather's going to get nice and the spring rains are going to come. And you're going to want to make sure your sump pump is ready to go. We're also going to be talking, and we're going to split this into two segments. The open and the close of the show is going to be about a paint project that I alluded to last week.
And I love this because the first half of the show, this first segment is going to be a list of things that you did wrong.
Yeah, the title of it is Things I Did Wrong.
Kind of my favorite list. The last segment of the show is going to be how to avoid all of those things.
Right, so that you can have a great painting experience.
Right. We can all
learn.
So
here's the deal. I had a paint project, and I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. It felt like everything that possibly could go wrong did go wrong. A couple things went right.
Right.
But it was a miserable experience. And I think a lot of us have these things,
mm-hmm.
and it makes a fair number of people not get excited about a paint project.
Yeah.
There aren't many people that are just super pumped. I mean, there are.
There are those people.
But there are a lot of people who are, oh, I guess I better get to that. And a lot of the times, it's because of things we're doing. It's not because painting is so bad.
Right.
It seems like it's bad sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of user error.
It's user error. And let me tell you about my user error. And I'm going to do my best to summarize this stuff as quickly as I can. And succinctly.
Yeah, it was a lot to dissect.
It was so much chaos. So anyway, here's the deal. I have a bedroom that I've got to paint.
Right.
9x10 bedroom, super small, should be super quick and easy. And I had a plan to do this on a given Saturday. And all of a sudden, the Friday before, I decide after dinner, after dishes, why don't we paint right now? You know, that makes perfect sense, right? And the kids just stared at me. Because this was not on their radar.
Right.
They had plans for the evening.
Yeah.
And I changed everything. So it got us off on the wrong foot because none of us were in a painting mindset.
No.
And that sounds kind of dumb, but I hadn't amassed my tools yet. So I had to run through the basement.
Now you're rushing.
I'm rushing
everything
around.
Everything is rushed.
The kids did not feel like painting.
No.
I was tired after a long, busy day.
Yeah.
Haley, you know how hard I work.
Yes.
Nose to the grindstone all day long. I'm a shell of a person when I get home. And now I've got to do all this painting. I'm doing it so I can save myself a Saturday.
I see.
Instead, okay. I blew 3 weeks, you know, all because of this decision. So I started early. Another thing I did, and this is because I started early.
Right.
A lot of things, this was the first domino, was starting early. A lot of dominoes fell because of that. The second thing was I didn't assess the room thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I mean by that is I gave it a quick glance. You know, as I'm thinking about doing this paint project right now, tonight, I look at it and I think, oh, there's a bed and a dresser. That's it. It's a 9x10 room. I don't have any real work here. It's going to be over and done, no problem. Well, it turns out, once I get working in the space, I realize, well, the bed is it's a frame and mattresses.
Yeah.
And all of those things take up space outside of the room, more space than I envisioned. All of a sudden, I can't get the dresser out into the hallway anymore because all these other things are in the way.
Yeah.
Then I realize, well, there's a big, huge braided rug in here that I hadn't thought about that's heavy to move and hard to get out with everything else in the hallway. Under the bed was a bazillion piles of art stuff that my daughter had, you know, it was organized, but it had to be moved and hauled out. A closet full of clothes, everything way bigger than I thought. I did not assess thoroughly. I didn't create a good work environment. That's another problem. And it's because I didn't have time or space. I hauled the mattresses out into the hallway right off the bat and blocked myself off. So in order
then
to,
you couldn't get the rest.
I could have if I had moved the mattresses further, but
that would take too much time.
I was done moving those mattresses. And so I decided I'm going to work around the dresser. That'll just go to the middle of a room. The middle of a 9x10 room. Think about that. There is not a lot of workspace around that. It takes up the middle. Well, so did the rug. I didn't want to haul this huge 9x11 rug, which
was now that's just
angled into
the room.
Right. I rolled it up, folded it over, but now it's heavier than lead. And it's not easy to move past the dresser and everything. It was chaos. I didn't create a good space to work. I found myself bumping into the dresser with my extension pole. I would try to move that. And there was nowhere I could work on a whole wall without banging into something in the middle.
Yeah, that's pretty frustrating.
It was horrible. It was hard to work with people in a space like that.
Well, and especially when you're bumping into things constantly, you just kind of feel agitated.
Yeah. On top of that, because of that, I didn't use drop cloths. I ran into problems with that.
Yep.
And then finally, just to get to the end of this and sum it all up, because it's so painful to relive, I rushed on everything. You know, I got that first coat on, and then I realized that took longer than I wanted it to. My other daughter is coming home. Her bedroom is like the staging area for all the junk.
Oh, no.
We got to get that out of there. I got to get a second coat on. It's not ready for that. We did it anyway, struggled through that, put the room back together, and then realized as I'm looking it over later, it needs another coat yet because of the color I used.
Yep.
It didn't cover and hide as well as I wished it would. So now I got to take the whole thing apart again to get it accomplished.
Yeah,
so that was
painful. That's a painful list.
It was painful, definitely painful. And I think a lot of people do run into things like that, maybe not all at once. Nobody would ever paint again if that always was the thing.
But I do think that that is the first domino that affects a lot of projects is just you started when you shouldn't have, and now they're just all following in sequence.
So that's what happened to me. I don't want that to happen to you. We're going to talk about that at the end of the show, how you can avoid all of those things
and
how I can avoid all of those things. Right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about sump pumps with Zach Krieger from Ayers Basement Systems. That's just ahead. Stick around. And we're back. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And right now, I'm on the phone with Zach Krieger from Ayers Basement Systems. Zach, how you doing?
Hey, Dan. Glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to talk to you. I guess before we get into everything that I want to talk about, why don't you just give the listeners a quick rundown, as quick as you can. I mean, take the time that you need to. What does Ayers exactly do? You guys cover a bazillion different things. Just kind of give our listeners an idea of what you guys do.
Yeah, so internally, we say that we do everything from the ground down, but more specifically, we tap into basement waterproofing, foundation repair, crawl space, encapsulation and repair, concrete leveling and lifting. We sell whole home generators, and recently we just got into full basement finishing. So a lot of different repair options. You know, I think egress windows, and basically, you know, everything from the ground down.
All right. So basement refinishing. What exactly are you guys doing with that?
So think about taking a basement from a damp, dark, scary, wet place all the way up to, you know, you want to make a man cave with a pool table, a wet bar, brand new lighting, carpet, brand new drywall, the whole deal. We can now take your crazy, scary basement all the way up into a place you want to spend time with your family and friends.
Oh, really? So you'll do all of that? How long have you been doing that?
We just launched that division about 60 days ago, and we've been having some really, really solid success. Again, you know, think of going down and people having wet basements with all kinds of problems, being able to solve those and then giving them a usable space that people really love to spend time in.
Yeah, so you're connecting them with flooring and everything, flooring options and all of that?
The whole nine yards, from the floor all the way to the ceiling.
All right. Wow. Well, that's really cool. I did not know about that. We'll get you back and we'll talk about that in the future.
Very cool.
And so how long have you been doing all of this stuff with Ayers?
So I've been with the company a little over 15 years. Had a really interesting journey. I spent about 9 years of that in production, actually putting stuff in the ground and leading a team of people. Got into sales, did that for a few years, led the sales team, and now, you know, in operations, really walk alongside our management team, you know, helping with hiring great people and obviously looking for more customers to service and just growing the business.
Now, you guys have, I don't know what you would call it, a branch. Let's call it a branch, unless you want to correct me, on the east side of the state as well. How far do you go? How much of Michigan do you cover?
So we cover the entire state of Michigan. We recently just made a major push into the Detroit market, which we're really proud of, to help help those customers out. So, we go all the way down to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and then back up to along the lakeshore there. So everywhere in the state of Michigan, and then northern Indiana at this time.
All right, perfect. So we've got the show airing all over the place. We've got it airing on the west side here out of Grand Rapids, and we do have it broadcasting in Metro Detroit because we've got some stores out there. So basically,
very cool.
Everybody who hears you on the show today, they could take advantage of what you guys offer. So all of the things that you've already mentioned are fair game if people are looking for help with that. But now let's dig into what I want to get to specifically on this one. You know, with spring and spring rains just around the corner, generally speaking, we're looking at potentials for water in basements, you know, and I know that you guys will do everything from the big stuff, but let's talk about sump pumps specifically, because I know that sump pumps failing over the course, you know, over the winter, something maybe has gone wrong. We don't realize it. We get these heavy rains that normally come around springtime, and I always end up talking to people who've had water in the basement while they've still had a sump pump. With the show, we talk to all kinds of different homeowners, you know, at all the kinds of different stages, and a lot of them are just starting out. So let's start simple with just why in the world is a sump pump important in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, sump pumps are like these finicky things that you either are educated on and you're used to seeing in a basement, and or you're not, and people, you know, may have never dealt with them and don't really know what to look for. So for me, a sump pump is basically a submersible pump that's going to mechanically evacuate water out of a basin, you know, typically in the low spot of your home. So you're going to you're going to go down there. You might hear some rattling. You might hear some shaking. You know, you might hear a flushing sound, and typically that's going to be your sump pump. And I do want to make sure people don't confuse that with a sewage ejector crock. So if you have a bathroom in your basement, you may see a sealed lid that's got two pipes coming out of it. You know, you flush your toilet, that wastewater is going to go down into a sewage ejector pump, and that's going to take it either out to your septic or your sewer. So they are two different mechanical devices. They work fairly similar, but they're for two different applications.
Okay. So if I have the sewage ejector pump, that does not mean that's functioning as my sump pump.
Exactly.
Absolutely
so
not.
If you have groundwater seepage or you're dealing with basement water issues, your sewage ejector pump is not doing that work for you.
And we don't want it to.
Exactly.
It's got a very specific purpose, and we don't want that mixing.
Exactly.
With what the sump pump would do. Okay, so the sump pump's going to get the water out before it becomes a problem in our basement. Now, I've talked to tons of people who had a sump pump, and they still end up with flooding in the basement from time to time. You know, so what's bringing that about? I know power outages is one of the things that causes that. What are some of the other issues that people run into, even though they've got the sump pump?
Well, a lot of times homes can be built with or without drain pipes around the foundation of the home. So in some instances, code calls for a drain pipe, like a footing pipe to be installed. And that's going to, the idea behind that is to collect groundwater, bring it to the sump pump, and then have it mechanically evacuated from the home. But that's only working if those pipes are clean and clear. And we know from experience that a lot of times mud, dirt, sediment, whatever you want to call it, could be bacteria in some cases, can clog those pipes, which makes those non-functioning. And even though you have a sump pump, you still get water on your basement floor. So that's one scenario that we see. The other thing is going to be, resistance to clogging. So if you have a sump pump that's designed as more of a, what I would call a sucker pump, that's designed to sit more on the floor and just remove small amounts of water. You'll see those frequently at a big box store. Mm-hmm. Those really aren't going to do the job that you're asking them to do in high water situations, because obviously if your pump gets clogged, it's not going to do its job. It's not going to get the water out to where it needs to go. And so, you know, the things that I think of when I think of a healthy sump pump, I think of resistance to clogging. I think of the sump pump motor itself. Does it have a powerful enough motor? The housing that it's made out of, is it cast iron? Is it plastic? You know, those are considerations. I think of the float and the switch design. Are those manufactured in a way that aren't going to get stuck? And then also, is there a battery backup that comes with that? If there's a power failure, you know, a mechanical device relies on electricity to run. So if there's a power failure, what do you do to get that water away? Those are all things that come to mind when I think of sump pump.
All right. So you guys have a number of different options. The triple safe and the super sump systems. Talk about those briefly. What sets them apart from each other? What sets them apart from other sump pumps?
Yeah, so the triple safe is really the most robust system that we offer. It's basically a three pump system that adjusts automatically to meet pumping requirements. So this thing has an airtight lid. It has a housing that allows for multiple pumps that are arranged in a way where things aren't going to, you know, they're not going to rub together. The floats aren't going to get stuck. There's no opportunity for clogging. And this thing has been literally designed through our network and a lot of R&D been done to make sure that this can withstand, you know, power outages. It actually has a battery backup called the Ultra Sump inside of it as well that can basically pump out a small swimming pool to give you enough time to have the power restored. And so there's just a lot of different things that we thought of. It on top of it sits a little alarm system. In the case that you do have a power outage and that battery is running, it lets you know that the system is operating as it should, so that you know you don't have to worry about listening to it, feeling the pipe, those sorts of things. Because when the lid's on and this thing's running, it's fairly silent. I've had a lot of customers say, "Man, I can't even hear that thing run," and that's just another benefit to the triple safe. You know, if you're hearing a bunch of a bunch of things vibrating, you know, you're hearing something sounds like it's walking around in the basement, you're hearing a lot of flushing sounds, all of that goes away with the triple safe system, knowing that you've got the redundancy and the power to keep your basement dry when you need it most.
Yeah, we had one at the house I grew up in that was the really loud kind that you're describing, and for a while I had a little a bedroom down there. And it was ridiculous. There was no sleeping with that thing going off all the time. So the triple safe, there's three pumps, right? Of course, triple safe. And yep, one of those pumps is a battery backup pump.
So you've got a third horsepower, a half horsepower that's set a little higher just in case there's a large water volume and the first pump can't keep up with that. That would activate the second pump. And then there's a third pump called the Ultra Sump battery backup. And then that also, if you have such a volume where all three pumps need to be working in unison, that's going to give you the horsepower to get a lot of water out of your house very, very quickly.
And that'll fit in a standard sump pump pit?
So the liner itself is actually a specialty design. It almost looks like a figure eight, because a standard sump pump liner will not house three pumps. So we actually had to design our own sump basin, if you will. And the other thing I like about that basin is it's perforated. So if you think of, I'm going to use a term maybe some people are familiar with or maybe not, it's called hydrostatic pressure. When you've got a lot of groundwater in the soil and that water starts to build up from rain around the foundation, you start to get this pressure underground. Well, one of the things that a standard sump liner doesn't have is perforations. The triple safe liner does. And so the liner itself is accepting water as is the water guard system that's bringing water to the sump. So you're effectively taking water out from underneath the floor and from the perimeter of the system at the exact same time.
Okay, that's the triple safe system.
Yes, sir.
All right, now you've got a super sump system, you've got a smart sump system for crawl spaces. I want to talk about all of those. I want to talk about some installation, what that might look like. And I'm going to try to hit you up for some free tips for people who maybe don't even have one of these fancy ones at their home, just something they can do, some things they can do to make sure it's ready for the season if they don't have time to get something new installed. Can you hang with me over the break and we can do that all on the other side?
I'll see you in just a few minutes.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute with Zach Krager from Ayers Basement Systems. Stick around. And we're back. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. Last segment, I was in the studio. Well, actually, I was on the phone. I'm in the studio, but I'm on the phone with Zach Krager from Ayers Basement Systems. We got partway through the topic that I wanted to discuss. We were focusing on sump pumps with all the spring rains coming. This is always kind of a big deal to me. I had water in the basement at my first house, and every spring, this was front and center on my mind. I did not have a sump pump. We got into some of that conversation, and I didn't get as far as I wanted to go. So I kept you over the break, Zach. You're still with me, right? You're still there?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to talk more sump pumps.
All right. So let's talk about it. We just talked about one of the sump pumps that you guys offer, the Triple Safe. Three different pumps, one of them being a battery backup to help you if the power goes out. What's the other system? You have a super sump system. Is this one, like, more elite than the triple safe, or is this the step down, or how does it work in your
The super sump is really the triple safe's little brother. So think of this as almost a standard sump liner. It's about the size people are used to seeing in their basement, but it still has some of the qualities of the triple safe with just a little less redundancy. So this one is designed to house a single pumping unit. You can retrofit this with the Ultra Sump battery backup to make it a two sump unit as well. It still comes with the airtight lid with a drain on top. It still comes with the water watch alarm, and you can outfit this with the third horse or the half horse and still stick the battery backup on top. So I really love the Super Sump because you can actually fit one of these bad boys in a crawl space. If you have a lot of water going on, it's a bigger basin than our Smart Sump, which we can get into in a little while. Mm-hmm. But this gives you elite capacity, a little bit bigger than a normal, a standard sump liner with all the same features and benefits of a triple safe. So if you're still getting water, but you're not necessarily concerned about the same volume that you might be with the triple safe, this is a really great option to make sure that your basement stays dry all the time, especially with the battery backup equipment.
All right. Now, in each of those, you mentioned an airtight cover. Why does airtight matter?
Well, I think that matters for a variety of reasons. The first thing that I think of is you don't want to have anything fall down into your sump pump. So, for example, I've gone into many basements with people that have children, and the first thing I notice in their sump pump are toys.
Yeah.
And that presents a really scary thing for a parent. You know, you can think of a small child reaching down into a pit full of water and for a toy, and that just has disaster written all over it. So it's a safety measure for one. Number two, it keeps any type of pests like, you know, rodents or insects out of there. It also keeps any type of smells from accumulating in the air as well as evaporation. So I don't know about you, but anytime that I've been in a very humid basement, the next thing I start to think of is mold. And so having these types of systems designed for the basement environment, you know, we try to think of everything that would really benefit our customers from using our products.
So both of those, Triple Safe and Super Sump, both have that airtight cover, amongst other things, right?
That's correct.
All right, so let's talk about crawl spaces. You mentioned that the Super Sump could potentially fit in there if we had some serious water issues. You also have a Smart Sump system, I think it's called, and that's specifically for crawl spaces, right?
Yeah, so the smart sump is basically, think of a micro version of the super sump, which is really cool. So we basically shrunk down the liner, the size of the liner, and we made this specifically for crawl spaces. If you've ever seen a crawl space entrance, man, they're pretty tight. And so being able to fit either the triple safe or the super sump liner through one of those spaces is really difficult unless you're going to put a hole in the floor. And I don't know about you, but you know, I don't want a contractor hacking a hole in my floor to drop a sump liner. And so we created this micro liner called the Smart Sump. It's designed for draining crawl spaces and crawl space drainage solutions. So it's same type of manufacturing. We've got the airtight lid. We've got a really cool thing called a clean pump stand, which elevates your pump up off the liner floor. So in the event that, you know, your drainage system brings any dirt or sediment in there, you're keeping your pump out of there, so only you're flushing clean water out, which is mm-hmm. really great. And then you still have the drain on top with the water watch alarm, and it still keeps everything nice and quiet. So just a really cool design, kind of neat and clean design for the crawl space environment.
So help me understand this. I've got a crawl space. I have had water in there. I believe I've figured out the reason for that, and I believe I've stopped that problem. But I'm not certain yet. I don't have any kind of pit in there, and there's no basin. How does this thing work? Do I need to have a basin? Do you need to, like you just mentioned, you don't want people cutting holes in my floor. This doesn't just sit on the surface, right? You've got to put this in a basin, right?
Exactly. So you just kind of alluded to how we like to run our business. So in your case, we'd love to come out and take a look to diagnose exactly what you have going on, have a conversation with you about what you're seeing and experiencing with that water, and ultimately see if this solution is a fit. Because the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, if you have groundwater seepage going on, we need to figure out a drainage solution for that. And then we have to take that water somewhere. The smart sump would be an excellent candidate for that solution, depending on how much water, when you get it, and ultimately what your goals are. So sounds to me, Dan, like you're going to be calling Ayers Basement Systems for a free estimate to check out your crawl space.
Yeah. I think... And yes, you're probably right. I probably should do that. What I think I did is I rag on everybody about cleaning out your gutters in the fall, and I didn't get to it. I don't know if it was, I don't know. I could make up a million reasonable excuses as to why I did not do that, but I procrastinated, and we got some heavy rain, and there was nowhere for it to go. And so it just poured over the edge of that eaves trough. Right into the basement, I believe. So I think I got that licked. But yes, I do need to make sure. But if you come, I mean, you can put a hole in the crawl space floor. I mean, that is a solution potentially.
Yeah, we've been able to do that in the past. I mean, if you have a masonry block foundation or a poured foundation, we can create an entrance from the outside. If it's a completely finished living space, we would prefer not to have to enter from the inside.
Right.
But you know, whatever it takes to get the job done, we're willing to do that. But that's another reason why we like to get eyes on the situation and really create a tailored solution that's going to fit your needs.
Yeah, I think that's really good because at the old house, this is probably the better example. You know, it was an old regular basement. So you mentioned at the first segment, creepy basements, that you can actually now transform those because you guys are doing this basement refinishing thing. You'll actually help me turn that into a wonderful space. Well, I had the old creepy basement, and I would get water in. And at that point, I mean, this is 15 or more years ago, 20 years ago, I wasn't exactly sure why the water was coming in. I just knew when I got a lot of rain, I'd end up with water in there. There was no sump pump at all. And my thought was that I need to put a hole in the floor, you know, create a basin, get a pump in there. I mean, that's what I was hearing from people. And that might not have solved anything, or it might have, you know, been a Band-Aid on top of stuff. But I needed to figure out why that water's coming in the first place. That's the first step.
Yeah, I always go back to, I keep thinking about how do we fix the root problem and not just treat the symptoms? And I was going to bring that up with your gutters. While I agree with you on your first example that, you know, your gutters probably are contributing to your groundwater problem in your crawl space, that may not be the only thing that needs to be repaired for a complete solution. So just like the home you're talking about, the only way for us to get a 360 degree, you know, view of what's going on is through that delicate conversation, a thorough inspection to make sure we're diagnosing the problem properly, and then showing you all the bells and whistles that can take care of that for a permanent solution so you never have to worry about it again.
Well, I think that's really good to remember because I think a lot of us aren't inclined to try to solve these problems on our own, to take it into our own hands. A lot of us are, and we're not always pursuing the right path. If we, you know, checking in with an expert, we don't have to, you know, act on what you're saying. It's a free estimate. You'll come out, you'll give us your opinion as to what's going on, and it just gives us a lot more information to work with before we jump into projects that really may not be solving the problem at all.
Exactly. And last thing you want to do is take your hard-earned money, put it into a place where you're only going to get, you know, 50% of the results. You know, call a local expert, call Ayers. We'd love to give you a free estimate. And, you know, the worst case scenario is you know what you're dealing with and you know what it costs. The thing I love about our sales team the most is they're going to walk alongside you like an educator and an advisor. And ultimately, the project is up to you. It's your home, your project. We're simply going to show you what's possible to take care of that and create a permanent solution for yourself.
No, that's really cool. So as educators, as advisors, walking along with us, maybe one or two things. You know, people sitting there at home right now thinking, I wonder, is my sump pump ready for what's coming with spring rains? Is there anything we can do to go down with the sump pump, that system that we've got right now? Some things that we could quick check to make sure it's at least ready. Maybe we still want to get a hold of you and upgrade, but maybe we can at least make sure it's ready to go for what's coming.
For sure. I think the first part is to remove any debris. So if you go down there and you notice that things have fallen into the sump pit, Or that maybe you have a little dirt and sediment build up at the bottom, you know, remove any of those toys I was talking about, anything that might have fallen into there. But also you could take a really easy one is to take a shop vac and just shop vac the bottom of that pit to make sure that you're only moving clean water out of the pit. I think the next thing that I think about is testing the float switch. So if you see a noticeable float that's going to look like most likely like a ball, or it's going to look like a cylinder, that's going to be attached to a switch that you're able to move up and down just to make sure that the sump is ready and that it'll activate when that float switch rises to the appropriate location. After that, I would inspect the check valve. So while you're pushing the float and you're activating the pump, I would also make sure the check valve is working. And the way that you do that is once you've flushed out any water that's in your sump pit, or maybe you took your hose and you filled it up with water, make sure the check valve is working. After you've deactivated the pump and it turns off, is water rushing back down into the sump pit? If it is, that means you've got a check valve problem, and you may want to look at replacing the check valve, or that might be the time that you say, hey, you know what? I want to take advantage of this free estimate and have somebody take a peek at it. Doesn't matter if you installed it or it's another system. We'll certainly come out and let you know if it's working properly or if you need some additional guidance or some additional help. The last thing I would look at is making sure that you're getting appropriate power to your pump, and just making sure that it's ready. Because the last thing that what you want to have happen, especially during some of those spring rains that we know we're going to get, is to come downstairs and figure out that your pump is dead, and that was the one thing that could have saved you from a wet basement. So again, you know, I would just make sure it's clear of dirt and debris, anything that's fallen into it. I would test the float switch. I would test the check valve, and I would make sure that you've got the appropriate power steady to that unit.
Excellent. That's all really helpful, really good advice. And if they do want to get a hold of Ayers, because like I said in the beginning, everywhere that our voice is going right now throughout Michigan, you've got people out there. You've got an Ayers basement near you. So if they want to reach out, how's the best way for them to find that information?
Yeah, you can do two things. You can either hop online at goayers.com and you can fill out, a free estimate form. You can chat with us online with a live rep, or you can just give us a call at 866-379-1669. And our customer care team will hook you up with a free estimate. A design specialist will come out, take a peek, and we'll have a conversation with you to show you what we can do.
Excellent. Zach Krieger from Ayers Basement Systems, thanks so much for hanging out with us today.
All right, Dan. Thanks again.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about some things you can do to make sure your next paint project turns out way better than mine did. That's all next. Stick around. And we're back. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. Haley, let's help people have great paint projects. The beginning of the show, kind of like it was one of those meetings. I'm Dan. I have problems when I paint because I make
painting intervention.
I make bad decisions.
Yeah.
And I bring that up. I mean, it is kind of weird. We market for a paint company, but we're talking about a bad paint experience. It seems counterintuitive, but I bring it up because, well, first off, it's the truth.
Well, right. Yeah. I feel like it's just very genuine.
And I believe that the bad experience that I had, you know, looking back on it, I didn't enjoy that paint experience. And I know it's because of things I did wrong, you know?
Yeah, it's not because, like, painting is so horrible. Like,
no,
it can be very easy and enjoyable. Like, the results are great.
I've had people say it's therapeutic.
Right.
I need therapy when I'm done with my way of doing it. But it's all because of how I do it.
Right.
And that's what we talked about at the beginning. I went through very as openly as I could all the weird, ridiculous decisions I made. Now let's talk about, I guess we're going to recap some of those things and basically just give you some tips. This is not going to be all inclusive.
Right.
There's a lot of other things, but here are some things that you can do to get great results.
And the first one is something you actually did right.
I did do this one right.
So
I figured out my color early.
Yes.
Do not figure out your color the weekend before you're getting ready to paint, or the night before you're getting ready to get paint and get going.
Right. Most likely, the color that you choose is not going to be one that you love once you've painted your walls in that color.
If I go and choose it on the spur of the moment,
right,
kind of
exactly.
a thing.
Exactly. Like, take your time, sample, figure out the color that's best for your space, your lighting. Don't just look in the store, choose a color chip, and then be on your way.
Right. So give yourself time to do that. Yeah. Start that project or process, that part of the project, right now.
Yeah.
I had that done. Man, I sat on that color for a couple of months.
Right.
And it that part we nailed.
Yes.
Absolutely nailed that part. So that was the one good thing. Do that. Another thing, assess your situation thoroughly.
Right.
Before you're getting ready to start that project, before you're getting ready to even maybe buy the tools and get the supplies, assess the situation. Walk through your space. Look at it well and figure out what you're going to need to accomplish the project. And that doesn't mean just figuring out how much paint you're going to need and how you're
right.
going to apply it and all those
or
tools.
Or even like the prep of the walls. It goes so much farther than that. You have to prep the entire space when you're painting so that you don't run into the situations that you did.
Yeah. So think about the things that you need to move. Think about the things that need to be organized and decluttered so you can move them easily. Mm-hmm. I got the bed out and realized there's a bunch of stuff under the bed
yeah.
that wasn't just ready to be moved.
It well, and it wasn't a part of your
and...
plan, so you blocked your entryway. And
oh,
yeah.
man. Yeah, let's bring that All up right, again. Yeah, completely ridiculous. Look it over. Consider the closets, the clothing in there, rugs, if you've got those. Consider the weights of those items, the size. Where are they going? So you can get them out. Don't block off your hallway like I did. Think about the lighting. That was another
right.
thing we didn't even have time to get to
right.
when I explained my problem. But I had planned to do the painting during the day on a Saturday when lighting would have been
did
great.
Did you have shop lights in there?
Thankfully, my kid is an electrician and
okay.
he had one.
Good.
But yes, we're sitting there painting in the dark. We've got like a 40-watt single bulb in the overhead
right.
you know, ceiling fixture. It was yeah. ridiculous. Think about all those things. That's what I mean by assessing that situation thoroughly. Then once you've done that, you make a plan and you stick to it.
Mm-hmm. You know? That was your biggest mistake, I think, right off in the beginning was deciding that Friday night, you know, I've got all the things. Let's just do it now instead of Saturday.
Yep. I had made a plan. And
it was a good plan.
It was a good plan. And then I said, you know what? Let's just wing it. Let's shoot from the hip. And it didn't work out well. So make your plan. Stick to it. Communicate the plan
right.
to the people in the household. And that's where it's really important that you make sure you stick to the plan because it's not just you there.
Right.
I had other people who not only was I tense because the work was bigger than I anticipated, mm-hmm. but now I've got people that I've dragged into this who did not want to spend Friday evening.
Right.
involved in all of this work. So you've got that extra tension and those moods to deal with. So think about all that stuff. Make your plan, stick to it. If you do feel the need, because some of us do feel the need, we get twitchy, itchy. We've got to get moving. We got to get something going. If that's you, then just do some of the little things during the week. You can gather your tools.
Right.
That's not a great big time investment, but get your tools together. That'll save you time when you start.
Do some of the prep work. You could be washing the walls, things like that, patching nail holes. All of that work can be done ahead of time without rushing into the project.
Right, but save the big thing, the painting and all of that, for the day that you scheduled it.
Yes.
All right. Create a good work environment when you do get going. That's
yes.
the next thing. Move items out. Give yourself space and freedom to move. You know, ladders, drop cloths, extension poles.
So crucial.
A paint bucket, roller trays on the floor. All of that takes up space. We don't
right.
think about it. I didn't think about it anyway.
Well, then you're tripping over stuff. You're bumping into things. It makes the entire project hard when you don't have enough space to work in.
Oh, man. Give yourself the space. Don't believe the lie that you can work around the furniture
right.
in the middle of the room. It's just a train wreck. Get it out of there and do that. Do the prep, and I'm talking about all the prep here. You know, wash the walls down, scuff sand the trim if necessary, fill the nail holes, apply masking tape if you need to, use a drop cloth, get all of that stuff and make use of it. Take the time necessary. This is the last one, to do the project the right way.
Right. It's really tempting to rush. I think we often see these little windows that we have to, okay, I can just get it done now. Let me just, you know, rush it. And it's just a cascade, you know,
yeah.
avalanche of problems occur because of that. Either the prep isn't done right, the paint isn't applied correctly, the color isn't ultimately right,
and all of those things.
Right.
It's not necessarily...
It could be all of them.
No, I got the one coat on, and then I realized I need longer for this coat to dry, but my daughter's coming home, my other daughter, and we need to get her room cleared out. We got to rush that second coat, and nobody wins when you rush. Give yourself enough time. And by all means, one extra thing on the list is if you have any questions at all, stop out at any Repcolite and ask. We'll gladly help you. We'll walk you through everything you need to know to have great results. You just need to do them and
yes.
implement those things. I know how to have good results. I need to get over that psychological thing and just stick to it. All right, that's all the time we've got. We're going to wrap it up. If you want to catch this one again, you can find it online at repcolite.com. Whatever you do today, make sure paint's a part of it. I'm Dan Hansen.
I'm Haley Johnson. Thanks for listening.